life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
I'm Sylvie Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In the most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And this week's show is, I think it's part five, actually, of Gregory's journey in the spirit world. And if you'd like to join us with a question or comment to Gregory about the subject of the spirit world, then do give us a call. It's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., it's 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-815-9756. There is an international number. It's not toll-free, though, and that's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi. I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 and every Thursday at 1 p.m. PST, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching, on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. PST. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services we provide, please do go and visit our websites. The first one is www.spirit-teaching.com, and the second one is www.spiritsworkradio.com. What we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. When I go into deep trance, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my body for the whole show, and I won't know about anything else that happens from the time that Gregory comes in, because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. And like I say, do have a good look at our website for a better understanding of how we work and what we do. And I'm going to say goodbye for this week, as in this show we give out, the whole show is over to Spirit, really. So I just introduce myself and say, hi, and then I go again.
Bye.
Bye then.
Okay. Gregory had an Earth life 300 years ago and has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world, which is what is open to all of us. And now he comes back to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They are made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. And just like to say to everybody that we will be doing a workshop in Portland on the 26th of this month. It's a Friday night at Healing Waters and Sacred Spaces, lovely shop in Portland on Broadway. And if you'd like to learn more about that, go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com. And like I say, do have a browse through the site. Book an occasion reading, or just generally learn lots of information about us and the spirit world. And also we've got our videos, well, little snippets of videos of us on there with Gregory in action. It's VO, what do you call it, the website is the VO one that we put it on, but actually you can get to it on our website and also on YouTube. I think we've got a new one on YouTube as well now. So you can see Gregory and Mick live. Anyway, enough gibbering from me. Hello, Gregory.
With love and light and peace be upon your pathway, my dear friend.
Thank you.
And welcome to all of you who may be listening at this time or at some time in the future. Our message is to you too, because all beings who listen to this program will come to learn the truth and significance of the messages that we bring and of the factual knowledge and understanding of the world in which we live in the spirit world, the world that awaits each and every one of you in some form or another, after you have had a physical life.
Must be something that you hear all the time. Gosh, if I'd only known it was going to be like this.
Every time. Every single being. They come to the spirit world, and of course, for some of them, if they have perhaps done the deeds that they should have done, if they have played the positive role that they should have played in their physical life, then, of course, they will be greeted by some awe-inspiring magic, I have to say. Really, that's all I can say about it. You see, part of the problem really is that for people from the physical side of life, they only really get a glimpse, just a little glimpse perhaps, at times in their physical life, of exactly what it could possibly be like in the spirit world. But I suppose, in a sense, nothing really seems to prepare you, unless, of course, you actually take the trouble to spiritually evolve yourself. And that's something which actually takes work and effort upon your part. It doesn't mean to say that you have to be a member of some religious cult or indoctrination of understanding. It means to say that you have to have that inner desire to want to better yourself in service of yourself and others. And of course, importantly, the planet that you live upon, that you are a part of, that you were born of, that you actually have a twin with in your DNA and your genetics. That's a part of what you are as a physical being. That also becomes a part of what you are as a spirit. But also, of course, in the spirit world exists a whole realm of a raft of different places, of different vibrational states, of different dimensions, of states of being, of different realization that upon a realization become born within you and without you, become as though you morphize between one state of existence and then another, and then upon another, as you gain momentum and understanding of your realization. Yes, in part, that is true. But this also happens within the journey of the spirit world from perhaps the time of your realization and of perhaps the time when you decide to return to your sacred home, your sacred journey of the place of your inheritance. That's not like to say it's the place of your inheritance of the physical world. We're not talking here about somewhere that is akin to your genetic family. Often, perhaps, oftentimes you may have heard of it in the status of where you are affiliated from, perhaps a specific tribe, perhaps you are a Moab or some other beautiful tribal name and rich heritage existence that you have come from in the physical state. Does it mean to say then that you as a spirit, as a pure, beautiful spirit, once again return to that group of existence of all of your ancestors? Oftentimes, of course, it has been said that many return to their soul home, which is afflicted and seems to be a part of your physical family. That, in fact, is a part, only just a small part of your journey. That's to say that For many people who look upon this from the earthly point of view, it's as though you are actually entrapped by the earth-bound spirit, by the earth presence that you have been a part of. In the generation, at the time of history of your planet, at the time of evolution of the human state, that you have actually become almost a part of that generational existence and that you cannot move beyond that. How many times have you heard of peoples of certain tribes or nationalities saying, oh, I am returning home? And it always seems to refer to the status of your genetics or the status of your loving family. Yes, it is very true that for some people that becomes the prism of their journey. It becomes the absolute counter of their status of worth. Perhaps a place where they feel absolute love. Maybe so, because they are adhering to the boundaries of love felt in human state. Or maybe that is part of their acceptance or their expectancy of life. So I'm saying that the way that you look upon the mechanic of this is that as a physical being, you're looking toward your genetic family, you see. You're thinking, ah, yes, I will be back with my grandfather, generations of this particular family of Jones or whatever it is that has existed. Perhaps different families of the Thomases or whatever, and all of the generations as far back as history can tell. But the point is that what you are doing in creating this situation is it's as though you are creating a situation of borders between yourself and the possible renaissance that you can bring about with the actual possibilities of other beings, beings which are outside of your vocational attitude, outside of your understanding or your eyesight at present. The victories, of course, of the human form are very often told about the emotional states that you bring about for yourself. But what of your soul? Your soul has very little to do with your genetic family. In fact, nothing whatsoever to do with it. Your soul is the pathway of your emotional state and all that cometh upon it from your physical life. This then, my dear friend, is just a mere snippet of your journey of the eternity of the spirit world. Just try and think for a moment, what can that possibly mean? That means, in fact, way beyond the dawning of time for the human experience, way beyond that, in the recesses of even the earth present in physical form, way beyond even the scope of the solar system as you presently know it, beyond back in time to a time when and whence you became a part of the acknowledgement of what God is in all languages and forms that is surveyed ever upon the universe. And within that energy, within that single sublime moment that you recognized you as a part of God, your energy as a part of that wondrous moment of being, that you understood you as in service to God and all its makeup, in all its wisdom, in all its glory, in everything that God ever is. Not throughout time, not throughout the history of the universe, because it's nothing. It's just an instant. The universe as you know it, in physical state, everything that you survey upon your night sky is but an instant, is the merest hint of what the spirit world is. And when you return to our side of life, like I have, my friends, you will come to know exactly. beauty there is. Oh, human beings of little minds, we are. And we know so little, we even squash a fly at the merest thought of it, invading space in which we live. And yet all is a part of God, all is a part of that infinite wisdom, all is a part of beauty without boundary. Your life in the spirit world, my life in the spirit world, comes from a more unique setting than anything of physical stuff. But yea comes from the beauty of the soul group, of the exquisite vibration, where love reigns at its most supremest quality, of a like that almost your greatest love you could ever think in physical realm is but a flicker of an eye as to the tumult of knowledge and loving awareness you can acquiesce to and be a part of in the soul group from whence you were formed.
And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today, Gregory. Because you went from the halls of learning, you were taken, presumably you were taken somewhere else after the halls of learning, and I'm not going to go back through the weeks, through the different things that we talked about, but you were in the halls of learning for quite a while, and
yes, it seemed like an ancient time.
Yes.
So immersed was I in the situations of characters I met and the wonderful introduction to the fullest life, to the parts of animal beings I'd never even encountered, and the oftentimes frightening experiences of just my meeting with them and then learning of their behavior of a loving vibration toward me, even though they knew nothing of my life.
Yes.
The point that I wish to make, first of all, is that every time anything happens to you in the spirit world, yes, it's for a reason. Perhaps it's the reason to do with your thought. But it's also for a reason of where you are, of what you are, and of what you can become. So, if you approach that, the source of energy in front of you or to the side of you is possibly adversarial, then that is the way that you will perceive of it, and it will in fact be mortified at your thoughts and at your feelings, and that in fact just by bringing birth to that such a thought could come within your being would lessen your vibration, therefore make it more unlikely for that meeting to become apparent. Whereas, if you are perhaps more open and more advanced in your thinking, that you can think beyond your present constrained dwelling of the thoughts that you have, then you may begin a sequence of events which are beyond your current thinking and take you, help you to come to understanding existing sequences, existing breaths of life which are beyond your present knowing. And in that case, in that respect, I suppose you could say that that is really how I came to understand the soul group from whence I was come from.
Well, presumably anyway, just going back to that, was because we're so used to being wary of other people, or we have to be wary of other people here, and presumably when you get to the spirit world, that might take a little while to wear off, if you know what
to
I mean.
To subside.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
So,
and it does. That's
but
the
once
point.
You, but presumably again, if you are within the vibration that you are with loving beings, then that wouldn't be necessary anyway. It would only be if you were at the lower lower levels of vibration.
Well, yes, so, but also don't forget, my friend, that people even at a higher ascended form of vibration may well actually truncate and decompartmentalize the actual state of vibration in which they are reflecting in, quite simply because they don't actually see beyond it. Perhaps they're entrapped by it in some way. Perhaps because of some form of their learning capability or something like that, they're actually restricting their own thoughts and the possibility of what can come, in which case that actually restricts their outlook and the possibility of how they actually see their specific home and actually blend with that vibration.
Especially, I expect, if they are into a religion.
Yes. Well, of course, that will hold them back.
Yes.
Absolutely so, because it stunts the growth. It shortens the specific length at which you can see.
Yes, you've immediately put a barrier up, haven't you, around how far you perceive yourself to be able to go.
Yes.
Without it being necessary for something else to happen.
Yes. So what I have to tell you then is that at the point at which I had felt brimmed full with loving interaction in the halls of learning of the different situations I had encountered there, I felt that I almost was full to burst. I could take nothing more of this wondrous state of the walls with ears, with eyes and sound, with lighting lips and minds and hearts and eyes that lit the sky, of all that tumultuous living condition, of stones that could tell 1,000 years of stories, of the whole fabric of the place and being, as though it were a beating heart responding to your every need and whim, like animals coming from nowhere in particular just to give you their name and rite of passage, just to show you how they breathe and survive in physical life and how they withered, perhaps, but only in physical form, and how they continue to transform themselves in the gifts of spirit and their creation. It is then, my friend, that I myself became aware that I was moving away from that place and to something else, which was a place without barriers, a place with color of a light supreme I could barely grasp. I was almost at the doorway of consciousness. You could say that I was transfixed in this translucent light. It was as though, almost as though I was bathing in the sun's rays, but yet it was too much and yet not enough. I peered into the amber light experience that I could see, and I could see the shining lights of my soul group harbor as they beckoned me. I was moving to the world of Arcania. Arcania, my home. Arcania, my love. Of all that I am. This is how beings of any form and nature are welcomed into their harbor light of experience, where they have begun their journey since being and moving away from that which is God, and from that which is God, so I am, and was relieved and blessed and bound by loving energy in all extremes, in all dimensions of existence. I felt as though I was one beating heart of 1,000 beating hearts, as though every single being who was there, who was a witness to me, and I witnessed them, I witnessed their consciousness, I was a light with their life, with their love for me. And I was suddenly aware of this immediate transformation of a state of bliss that I could, words in human physical form fail to recognize, fail to embark upon. It's like you are walking into a jungle and you come face to face with a bird of paradise. Its plumes, its beauty, its effervescence. Just exuding quality of perfection, of the glory of God that is. This is a place of no boundary and no border, of every light extreme. As far as you will be is as far as your harbor light extends. You say you nestle in the Bedouin of the lamp of love, of the bosom of life, of God surrounding you, in the most beautiful mother, the most beautiful harbor of all light perfection. Is granted there. Every single breath of my physical life has come to this place, has come to this dawning light experience. Oh, blessed I am. Blessed I am.
Who took you there? You said you just found yourself there.
Yes.
So nobody...
No. My will took me there.
But you didn't even know it existed.
I did not remember it existed. But I was reminded in the halls of learning by a friendly being who came past me. It was an energy I could not but see.
Mm-hmm.
But yet an energy I seemed to recognize. And it was as though this energy said, you not need me now. You need to be home. And I thought, I need to be home. And I began to be aware that the walls of the halls of learning began to recede.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was within the building, I was suddenly without it. And it seemed to be there in one instant in the distance, and in another instant the planet I saw, and in another instant I saw as emerging this, as though it were a dual light in the whole auric field of my atmosphere,
mm-hmm.
that I could focus upon, as though I was circling it, this dual light experience, as though it was beckoning me and I was drawn to it. My friends, let me tell you a little of Arcania. Arcania, the beauty place. The place of my bonding. The place of where love for me is beyond purity, beyond any physical word. Where all beings who exist there, different beings, different spirit, I have learned to say, precious being, thy path. All being, all manner of being, I have learned to say, precious be thy path, friend. For you are gloried in the word of God. You are gloried in my vision. I fall at the merest essence of your vibration, at the merest whim of understanding, I bequeath you everything I am. And that is the feeling. That is the feeling that is reciprocated to you. That is the feeling that you gain when you are with someone from your soul group.
But did you see actual people? Or,
yes.
Or energy?
No. Beings from all kinds of walks of life, from all different kinds of nationalities, of physical state of human life, of animals and birds, of beings of different existence who seemed and appeared to fluctuate not a jot, but all breathe and sway within one mind, within one love, with one intention and emotion, that was to serve one another in absolution. and I felt as though I was just this small sheep, just this little lamb, and yet I was empowered by all that love which coveted me and made me feel as a beautiful part of it. I could see wherever I wished. I could see from any being that I came to that their intention was as mine, to be of service to all that were there, that were there and lit in that moment. And in the next moment to come, and the next after that, it never stopped. Almost, you could say, it never stopped if I was just thinking in my own physical mind, in my own physical voyage that I had lived, then I would be entrapped by it. I would be break asunder, and I would feel, perish me. I am just this little being, just this insignificant mind. And yet that in itself was a travesty of my life, of what existence I had done was best brave of me. But the courage that I had tried to make and match in my physical life was all but a crumb to my life. Yet I had done my best. I knew of it. As suddenly my gifted experience, little as though it was in my physical life, was made for all to see. And it was though I was stripped bare of all my life. There it was. I felt embarrassed, ashamed. I felt belittled by my poor, meager experience. But hands held me. Love wrapped around me. Held me and told me, be calm, be safe. You are loved. You are cherished. Little one, breathe. Learn to love again. You have done no harm. You have bathed no ill. And I asked and pleaded for forgiveness of my father, my mother, those errant ills I created, those naughtinesses that I brought about in my young days, my family life. My thoughts and feelings became raw within me and without me. I brought it all to my consciousness, and I battled with it, and that I was bathed in love. I was protected at every moment, at every drop of understanding.
So, what made you feel like that, though? I mean, apart from... Yourself? So nobody actually asked you?
No. There was no hint of judgment. There was no hint of anyone saying...
Were you in a building?
I was just bathed in this brightest surround of loving energy that was willing me, that was grasping me, that was cherishing me, bathing me in this love supreme, that I felt overwhelmed by not their charity, but the courage they gave me to face myself. Is a moment of my history, friend, blessed friend, that I will never forget.
It sounds like something that we on the airplane can't comprehend, really, a feeling so beautiful and overwhelming like that. I think most people would agree with me that there's nothing. There's hardly anything, maybe a good meditation, maybe a blissful meditation that happens now and again, that you can come across feelings like that when you meet with your doorkeeper,
yes,
or your guide in a certain way, or your spirit even,
yes,
that takes you on a journey.
Yes.
Then that would be something, I think, akin to that, being bathed in a beautiful light,
but that's
colour.
But that's like the merest hint of it.
Well, yes, we can't imagine that at all.
That's just touching.
Mm. Yes.
Just merely touching the surface.
Mm. Okay, what did they call you, these people? Were you called Gregory then?
No.
You weren't? Okay.
But near to it. Mm-hmm. This was the strange, profound state in which I was bathed, and they said, Gregor, you have returned.
Gregor?
Yes. I said, Gregor, my name is Gregory. And they said, ah, hey, that is your physical name. You were before this as pure spirit, as spirit divine like we, Gregor, offer name and service to all that you see.
Right.
To all that I surveyed in this soul group harbor, I was apparently of service to them, everyone. And they had come to greet me. And there was thousands and thousands of them, of all different nationalities and natures of beings, insects, even insects that I had never even seen or remembered, of birds, of forms of animal form I had never ever seen in physical life, ever.
No, but what about in the spirit world? Did it come back to you? Did things start falling into place that you remembered from before you had a physical life, if they knew you before? When did that happen? Because that's something I think that we find totally and utterly fascinating.
A gradual experience, a gradual seepage, if you'd like, of memory returning, but yet with foggy counterparts. It's as though it was just a merest hint, perhaps. Almost as though the kind of hint that you see, perhaps at times when you are, yes, at times when you are in meditation and you see and admire or witness people that appear to be shadows merging in the distance or in the background, but yet you cannot see who they are. You cannot detect their flavor, their instance. You cannot quite form the words of who or what. And this is something of the energy I experienced, and yet the familiarity, though, was present as well. It was though I was witnessing these energies, but they were of such a profound love to me.
But did you remember then, from before, you know, I mean, when they said your name's Gregor, and that's what your name was before you had an earth life, did that ring any bells to you?
No!
No, not at all.
No, I thought they were talking to somebody else. I thought, who is this? And there's someone else in the room, because all, of course, I had known in my conscious life memory of this present existence that I, as Gregory Hay, had been but just a poor child, and yes, but just a small existence. And I was of a meager stock, yet I had suddenly perceived this great and enormity of understanding from my encounter in the halls of learning. I was but this wretched soul with a mind of expanding awareness and knowledge of a thought and breath and form that I could not even grasp. Its nature was so moving outward, ever outward, as though I was a part of the universe. And I was at state of being. I said, I am, but... Yes, you are, Gregor. You are that state of being. Be at peace. Be at one. Be at bliss. Be peaceful.
And who were they? You said they said.
All beings I was surrounded by who
were they
extending... No. They were, or it was as though all of these voices were around me in my vision quest of my mind, my exterior that I had painted for myself was seen blown away. It was like it didn't exist, like my boundary of my skin was nothing, meant nothing, was formed as a part of the soul group in which I was immersed. And that was all love supreme. That in its moment was all love in... I believe that was my state of bliss.
When did you start recognizing anything in the soul group from before?
I began at the time when, after a lapse of, can I say, physical time?
You have to, really, because we can't understand it otherwise.
I try to equate what time may be in the life of the spirit kingdom or in the life of the soul group in which you are maybe aware of the memory of a beating heart. That's something that you reflect upon. Yes, yes, yes. Reflect upon some physical memory, some physical journey, some jolt of something to bring parity with, but yet it seems to fail. Because, as try as you might, you try to bring your mind consciousness to physical heart breathing, lungs, breathing, beating, something which gives you a reference point, but none seems to exist. It's as though you are just dwelt in bliss, like carried aloft by wings of feathers, by loving encounter, by love you are raised, by love you are born, by love you are given, and experience giving. And in service, yet again, I remembered through my service, I remembered as beings came to me, in front of me, beings who could not smile, because their physical form maybe did not allow it. And then suddenly their physical form melted away in front of them, and I saw this beautiful elliptical spirit that just came and enveloped me and said, "Oh, beauty, live."
Okay. So where did you go? What happened from there then? I mean, okay, in our Earth terms, we're going to have to say you did something after something else.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. I understand. Let me continue for a moment this journey of mine, this bewhittled journey, this small journey of a small mind suddenly became insignificant. That was what I was next aware of, that I did not have to bathe in my jealousy, did not have to bathe in any rages that I had encountered in physical life. It was all gone and forgotten, every moment of it. Every journey of that which I had been held in, despised in my life, or that I had encountered in that life, was suddenly placed into the context of the universe. And it seemed, it does not matter. Yes, it mattered to me that the encounters that I had had, the few jealousies that I had had, or the sorts of feelings that I had risked with others in physical life, or the encounters of the merest amount of affection or love, those suddenly became bright as bells, as bright as the sun or the stars. And these emotions seemed to hold for me a different kind of love and a different kind of responsibility, as though I was seeing it all afresh and all anew. It was as though that being carried by this great love in the halls of experience, in this dwelling place of my soul group, it was as though all the thoughts that I had become as an accumulation of my life became to be understood by me in the perspective at which I had offered it, and the perspective of which I had to accept my responsibility for the thoughts and journey that I had made. But also that I felt, in a sense, a profound relief that I had caused no diminished demonic ill upon another, or that I had not brought about the death of others.
Mm-hmm.
I was relieved greatly.
Well, presumably you wouldn't have been where you were then if you had.
Presumably not.
Mm.
I cannot tell, for I had not made that journey my purpose. I had made my journey as this, in a sense, carefree being, but in a sense also a purposeful being wanting to be of service to others, but they knew very little of the worlds of man.
Mm-hmm.
And in this respect, friend, blessed friend, I stood at the beck and call of others in respect, because I was in defamation of my own character and wished only to perceive to be of service of others of greater mind and greater will. Yet I understood then, in the moments in my soul group, that I was as blessed as any man, as any woman, as any child could be. And I met many who had had shorter lives than me, lives of greater insignificance than I could ever parry. Greater insignificance because perhaps they were children who'd never breathed a breath of life. How could I fail them? How could I say I was greater than they? Because yet they gave me all love that they had created themselves, because they were willing me to understand them.
And was this this was all people from your soul group?
Yes.
Okay.
Thousands of them. Not just people, as I say, animals too. And that is a part of Arcania, friend, that you must remember as a child. When you come to the spirit of your own understanding, when you dwell within that understanding, because you are from Arcania too.
Yes.
And you understand the wills of animal life and how to treat them, how to better them, how to create understanding with them, which is why, my friend, all of those from Arcania have this dwell within a light of the knowledge of animal life, because that is of a life form that we all bring with us from Arcania to our physical life. And that is why Arcania, in that respect, is of such wonder. I'm not saying that this is something which is not a part of other...
No.
...other harmonies, is not a part of other soul groups.
And everybody's soul group is equally as beautiful, and the experience
absolutely.
Absolutely wonderful as yours. It's
yes.
Just that each soul group has a different quality
or a different vibration.
Yes, different vibration.
And I'm just explaining
yes.
to you the vibration.
What happened to you?
And the experience of what that can mean to a presence of life that's had a physical existence and all the harsh rarities of it. And all of the inconsistencies of that physical life are bled but to naught.
But you must have at some point remembered being in the Arcania group before you had a physical life.
Well, I'm saying that this isn't something that was readily available
Not
to
then.
Me.
Not then.
It was something that grew.
Grew.
That in the I cannot even say the time that followed.
I know.
Because
yes.
it was as though I was not aware of breathing. I was not
yes,
aware of existence, yet I knew of all existence
yes.
that was with me, that was willing me, that was giving me love. You see, that's the point.
Well, when we think about our physical life on Earth, though, we know that we grew from a child to what
yes.
we are now, but we don't exactly remember how or what that felt like. And You know, there wasn't any markers where you remember going past any specifically, not really.
No, although if you actually search your consciousness as a physical being, you think in terms of, oh yes, there are little glimpses of memory of this tottering or that tottering
oh,
or,
yes.
or this image or that image, whether it was a sacred moment or a moment of tragedy. They are situations which illuminate and pepper and percolate your soul vibration and that which you are. And yet all of that seems to be as though it's an insignificant journey to that when you are bathed within the love of soul, within the love of your soul group and the harmonic which reaches into the very depths of your being and seems to bring you to the point of realization. That is true realization.
Well, it seems
when
like euphoria, really.
Moment. Euphoria is but a dream. Because euphoric situations come in the moment of realization and appear to burst upon you. Yet this is almost as though after seemingly I had experienced this state of bliss, I was overwhelmed by it and then was suddenly felt as though I was in my own element and alone. I learnt afterwards that everyone around me had understood that I could not take any more of their attention, and they all moved away at once, and all at once they understood and realized at what point I had transcended to and knew that it was time for me to be rested and peaced.
Sounds like it. Hello, caller. Who's this speaking?
Hi, Sylvie. This is John.
Hello, John.
How's it going?
Okay, yeah, good.
Good. Great show. But my question's off the topic. Today would have been a philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche's birthday. Gregory.
I missed that. Did you get that? Whose birthday?
Friedrich Nietzsche. He was a philosopher. So I was just wondering if Gregory ever talks to him or can say anything from him on his birthday.
I have not met with...
Well, I don't think you caught the name either, did you? Can you spell the name?
Nietzsche.
I don't think Gregory knows.
I do not. I must confess, friend, I am dumbfounded.
You got him, John.
I am so sorry, friend. I am immersed in this reflection and recollection of my journey past and my journey present in being now. I understand that you are coming from a place of understanding, and I understand that you are coming from the pursuance of truth. However reflective I can be at this moment in time, I am in a sense caught with this situation of empowering others to understand, and I am drawn to focus upon that message in error, perhaps.
So basically, you can, maybe on another show he'll tell you the answer to that then, so Gregory can, when he's got his different hat on, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that's okay. It was just his birthday today, and we talked about him before, that's why I just wanted to mention it. But I know birthday is not such a significant day in spirit.
Right.
They really don't celebrate birthdays, so.
No, probably not.
Yeah. I've enjoyed the show, so let's get back to the program.
Okay.
Thank
you. Thanks,
John. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
We've only got about 4 minutes left.
Yes, yes. So, you see, the problem is, I suppose, you could say, upon reflection of it now, that the problem that human beings have is the logical thinking of one and one. That is what I've always said and stated, that human people think in terms of linear step. That means to say that what the progress of one and one. When you are thinking past one point, you gravitate to another upon the horizon of your mind, of your consciousness. In the spirit world, in the soul group in which you are immersed, at a point after your passing, not necessarily when you pass, at the time of your choosing or of the choosing of your soul group, when you are gathered therein, when you recount your life, and it is your life experience, that is when your the love of those around you, of all beings that you have ever met, in some senses, before you had a physical life, or the beings perhaps that you helped in the thousands or millions of years of your journey, in their evolution, in the praying, in the help and healing, in the senses that you gave and brought to them, their feeling of love from your own very heart, your own very consciousness, of spirit, pure spirit, before you ever had a physical existence. Yes, that exists. Nay, not the thoughts and feelings of little minds of will of man, but the greater thoughts of spirit kingdom, of the essence and issuance of consciousness state of the pure spirity, of the purity of that spirity, as it flows and ebbs and is a part of the universal kingdom of is. God, I am beautiful. As you are, am all beautiful, if you would only but see it, dwell within that mind.
What? How much of a coincidence was that? I mean, your name in the spirit world was Gregory, was Gregor, and on your birth name was Gregory. I mean, that is just too much of a coincidence.
But no, not at all, really. Many other people have that issuance. It's because of the fact that, in fact, at very often times, at the point of your physical birth, your parents may well be influenced by some situations coming of vibrations coming from the spirit world toward your parents of perhaps the first three or four letters of your of your start name, your beginning name, of course, and all cultures is different. It may well be that as a native being, you will be issued by the kind of flower or animal that is seen by your parents at the point of your birth, or of the weather pattern or the weather behavior of the planet. You are issued with those names too, as a part of the morning star approach, of the emblem of universal akindredship to physical form. That is something that this is empowered too by your wellness and your being of life experience, but is also a part of your sacred spirit, your beautiful spirit.
Well, thank you for sharing with that with us today, Gregory. That was just absolutely fascinating.
With,
I know our listeners would have found that fascinating.
With all love to every step and breath you take, my dear friend, little bird, may peace be a part of your understanding. And whoever to listen to this, may your peace be a part of your breath of reality, a part to come in your life.
Thank you. Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed the show. Don't forget to visit our website, spirit-teaching.com, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Bye.